Our sermon text comes from John chapter 7 and is three short but powerful verses. John 7, 37 through 39. Here again, God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Lord our God, we thank you for your living, active word. And I thank you, Father, for these words. And I ask that you would empower your servant as I preach, that you would empower me by your Spirit, that these words would go into the hearts of everyone here, that we might draw near to the Savior and experience and show forth the life that he alone gives. And it's in his name that we ask for your glory. Amen. Do you feel discouraged in your life right now? Perhaps you are struggling with some of the same sins of impatience or anger or lust. Is your life characterized as one that, as the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians 1, is filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God? We just sung a moment ago the psalm, the first psalm, which describes the blessed man, the one who walks not in the way of sinners, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who delights in his Lord day and night, meditates on it. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit. Is your life characterized? Are you like that tree, bringing forth fruit? Do you long to be filled with the fruit of righteousness? Well, if you are at the place right now where you thirst for righteousness and for spiritual life, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And in this short but profound passage, Jesus here speaks this glorious promise to give living water to all who thirst and come to him to drink. Now, my brother went out with a friend some years ago hiking in the middle of the Pine Barrens, and it was the middle of the summer, sun was high, it was very hot, and after a few hours, he told me he began to get really thirsty. Now, they had not brought water with them into the hiking, being young and foolish, but several hours into the Pine Barrens, my brother said that his thirst became so intense that he found, kind of floating in a swamp, an old, half-drunk bottle of Lipton iced tea. And not knowing, you know, whose lips had been on it, he grabbed it, opened up, and began to drink. And he said, because all he knew was that if he didn't drink, he would die. You know, you and I need water for our bodies to live. Without water, we languish and we will die. And the same is true of you spiritually. Without water, you cannot thrive, and without water, you cannot die. And we see in our passage here that the water of life is the water that Jesus gives, even the Holy Spirit. And this is his promise to you. Are you thirsty this morning? If you are, come to Jesus, drink, and flow with the Holy Spirit. And that is the outline of the message for you today. If you are thirsty, come, drink, and flow. So first, Jesus, we're told in verse 37 that Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast. Now this was the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths, that Jesus was in Jerusalem for. And Jesus is speaking here. He's been speaking in the temple. And the Feast of Booths commemorated the wandering in the wilderness when God provided food and drink for his people. And in the day of Jesus, some of the priests had a tradition where they would take a bucket of water from the pool of Siloam, and on the last day of the feast would go up to the temple in this procession and pour out the water from the bucket from Siloam. And this was done to symbolize a promise that God made throughout the prophets. A promise when he said in the last days, living water will flow forth from Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14 speaks of this. It also speaks in Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel's given a vision of living water flowing forth from the temple, going out and bringing life to the Dead Sea, and causing trees to grow up along its banks. And so it's on that day, as the priests are getting ready to pour out water from this bucket, that Jesus stands up in verse 37 and cries out, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Because Jesus is the source of that living water. In Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel was shown the vision of a new temple. God said, "I'm going to establish a new temple." And in chapter 47, he's shown water coming out from that temple. Well, God doesn't have a plan to build a new physical temple. He's actually building his temple now, which is the church. Because the true temple is Jesus. That's what Jesus had said in John chapter 2 at the beginning of John's gospel. He told the Pharisees, "Tear this temple down and I'll raise it in 3 days." And the disciples remembered after he had risen from the dead that Jesus had said this, that he is the true temple. And being the true temple, he, the one in whom, in whom the deity dwells fully, he, being very God, is the one who gives the rivers of living water. So he stands up and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink." So Jesus says to you this morning, come. Come to me. If you're thirsty, come. How do you fill your thirst? Everyone is craving life. But you can try to fill it with all kinds of things. You can try to fill your thirst for spiritual life with good effort. You can try to fill it with meditation. You can try to fill it with music to change your mood. You can fill it with physical food, substances, relationships, money, with your job, success. And everywhere in our culture, we have false savers saying, come, come. Every time you see an advertisement, right, showing that new car with a beautiful woman, is saying, come, come and live. Every time, right, sin provides this temptation. Sin is saying, right, come, I'll give you life. But Jesus alone, right, Jesus stands up and says, come to me and drink, because he is the fountain of living water. To come to Jesus, right, you have to believe in him. How do you come to Jesus? If you look at verse 38, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, when you look at the Greek, this phrase, right, he that believeth on me, is also connected to let him come unto me. So Jesus says, let the one who believes in me come unto me. So how do you come to Jesus? Well, you have to believe in him. And what does it mean to believe in Jesus? To believe in Jesus is not simply to intellectually assent, yes, Jesus is real, but to believe in Jesus is to embrace him as the source of life. To embrace him as the source of life. Have you come to Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is your, is the source of your life? Have you ever recognized that if you have nothing in life, friends, family, job, money, health, but you have Jesus, you have everything? And that if you have everything, but you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Jesus is the source of eternal life. So to believe, you must believe in him to come to him. But you don't come to Jesus simply at your conversion. But you come to Jesus daily. And Jesus beckons you this morning. If you are a Christian, if you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he says, come to me today. Come to me tomorrow. Come and believe that I am the source of life. So he says, come. But secondly, he says, to drink. Let him that believeth on me, right, come and drink. What does it mean to drink from Jesus? Well, to drink is to take, to fill yourself with Jesus, to take him in. You drink in Jesus through the means of grace, through the Word. And this is why, as Christians, we don't read the Word to prove to God that we're spiritual. Right? We read the Word to be spiritual, Holy Spirit-filled. As you read his word, as you hear, you come to hear his word preached, then you hear Jesus speak to you. You get to know him. And the more you know him, right, the more, right, he dwells in you. The word says, in Ephesians 5, Jesus says, through Paul, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And in Colossians, Paul puts it this way, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So one of the ways that you drink from Christ is by feeding on his word, reading his word. You also drink from Christ through prayer. Prayer is communion with Christ. Prayer is not a duty. It is a duty, but it's not a mere duty. Prayer is not given to us as a ritual, but prayer is a means of fellowship with the Savior. And as you commune with the Lord in prayer, lifting your heart to him, he fills you with himself. You drink from Christ also, from fellowship with his people. When the Holy Spirit was poured upon the church in Acts 2, it says, right, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the word, to the prayers, to the fellowship and the breaking of bread, to the fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? Christians often talk about fellowship, but too often we misunderstand what Christian fellowship is. Christian fellowship is not socialization. And too often we mistake those. So you have a service, and after the service, you eat donuts and drink coffee and talk about the Phillies. And you say, oh, we had fellowship. Well, no, that's socialization. And socialization is not bad. God gives it to us as a way of creating bonds, right, of relational bonds. But fellowship is sharing in the gifts of the Spirit together, sharing Christ together. So when you pray corporately, you come together and pray for one another, you're experiencing fellowship. You hear the Holy Spirit, right, at work, right, speaking through the heart, lifting up prayers through the heart of your brother or sister. As another brother or sister is praying through the Word and bringing things to mind, right, you are being strengthened and built up. And you're experiencing not just fellowship with your brother and sister, but fellowship with Christ. Christ is filling you. Fellowship is also sharing the Word. So as you're speaking about how the week went, you speak about the Word. What is God doing in your life this week? What have you been learning from the Word? How has God been encouraging you from His Word? How has He been convicting you? And you share the truth with one another. That's why Paul says in Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, among you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns and songs and spiritual songs. So as you fellowship with one another, you drink from Christ. So Jesus says, come and drink, and you will flow. Look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Now, what is that living water? The living water, we're told in verse 39, is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, if you believe in Him, you come to Him and you drink, then your innermost being will flow with the Holy Spirit. Now, what naturally comes out of the belly of man? If you are sick, you've got the flu, and you're feeling nauseous, and you say, I think something is about to come out of my belly, but I think your friends would clear out and give you space. Because what's naturally in the belly is vile. And so this is remarkable. Jesus says, the one coming to me and drinking out of his heart, out of his innermost being, will not flow the vileness of sin, foolish words, prideful speech, right? Sharp words, gossip, but will flow the Holy Spirit. When Christ is in you, what comes out of you from Christ is pure. And Jesus here doesn't simply say, the one who believes in me will have a trickle coming out, but will have torrents of living water flowing out from them. Now, what does living water do? Well, Jesus says, when you come to me and drink, you receive life. Living water brings life. In Ezekiel, again, chapter 47, which I quoted earlier, the prophet is shown this water that is flowing out from the temple. In Ezekiel 47, beginning at verse 3, the angel says, and when the man that had Ezekiel says, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. So Ezekiel is showing this vision of the temple, and flowing forth from it is a stream of water. And that stream gets wider and wider. And the angel says, I want you to show you something about this river. Come, walk out 1,000 yards. And so he walks out roughly 1,000 yards. And now the water's up to his ankles. And then he says, follow me out 1,000. And then the water's up to his knees. And then again he measures 1,000. And then the waters were up to his waist. And then Ezekiel says, this river became a river so deep that I couldn't cross through. And the angel said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And then he takes Ezekiel back and says, now look at the banks of the river. And he says, and I saw by the banks of the river, upon the banks, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So what does the living water do? It brings forth life where there was no life. Conversion. And it brings forth fruit where there was no fruit. Holiness. And Jesus says, if you drink from me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And you will become an instrument of the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of others. And people, because they know you, because they speak with you, will come to know Jesus. And people, because they speak with you, because they fellowship with you, will become more like Jesus. So come to Jesus, and you will flow with the Holy Spirit. This is the amazing promise of Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for spiritual life? Are you thirsty for holiness? Well, Jesus stands up and he cries to you, come to me. Not to sin, not to things. Come to me. And he says, drink. Right? Take in my words. Take in my promises. Take in my commands. Pray, commune with me. Fellowship with one another. Drink from me, knowing that I am the source of life. Embrace me as the source of life. And then he says, as you drink, then you will flow. And out of your innermost being, right, will flow the Holy Spirit. All month we've been speaking about the Great Commission. Jesus says, I've given you a task, church, to go to make disciples. He taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come. Regenerate people, regenerate people. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, sanctify them. Let them walk in righteousness. And then he says, okay, now that I have died and risen again and produced the power of conversion, to produce the power of sanctification, now you are going to be my instruments. You go out. But how can you be my witnesses? Well, come to me and drink and flow. And why is Jesus the source of life? He's the source of life because he alone deals and dealt with sin on the cross. He's the one that took all the vile stuff from your natural self onto himself as he went to the cross. And he shed the blood that washes out your inside. He died on the cross to kill that old heart that loves the sin. And he rose again to bring forth a new heart, a new past, and a new life. And he ascended to heaven and poured out the Holy Spirit on his church. And so Jesus has now been glorified. The Holy Spirit has been poured forth. So he says to you this morning, come, drink, and flow. I close again by asking, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for life? Do you desire to be fruit, bearing fruit through the power of Jesus? Well, listen to this great promise. Savior stands and he says, come believing, drink from me, and flow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you indeed are the source of life. And we thank you that you went to the cross, that you rose again. And having been glorified and ascended to heaven, we thank you that you have poured forth the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that any here who are not thirsty, Lord, you would, by your grace, grant them a thirst for spiritual life. Grant them a thirst for you. I pray, O Lord, that you would increase our thirst, that we might increase our drinking, that you would increase our faith, that we might embrace you as the source of life. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause us to overflow with the Holy Spirit, that we might be your instruments of bringing forth life into this world, so that the name of God might be sanctified above all things, so that your kingdom might come in all of its glory, and that your will might be done in a beautiful way that brings you glory. And it's in Jesus that we ask all of these things. Amen.